Turn your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Psalms, Proverbs, in the middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 3. Bow together for prayer. Father, we come before Thee now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that the Spirit of God might speak to every heart here as we look at the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and the promises that are in the Word of God. We pray that every person might have a desire to know You better, Lord, to know the Word of God, to know the promises and to do them, Lord. We pray for those that don't know Thee as Savior. We pray that they might come for eternal salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ, who can save their soul and make their life new. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now the Lord promises here what we call a conditional promise. It has an if. The Lord promises that if you do certain things, it'll be good for your health. And we previously looked at this subject matter a couple weeks ago and stated half your health problems are solved. Half your health problems are solved if you'll do what God tells you to do. Half. Now, where do health problems come from? Well, number one, they can be inherited. You can get them from your mom and your dad and your grandmom and your granddad, and it kind of gets passed on down. That's just a medical axiom these days. You can inherit problems, and you can't really do anything about that because we couldn't choose who our parents were and what diseases they might have had. Another area that you can get health problems from is bad habits. Another one is the devil. We saw that the devil afflicted Job. A fourth area is you could get a health problem from the Lord Himself. The Lord could chasten you and give you a health problem. Number five, your sin can give you a health problem. And number six, another reason why you could have health problems is you're human. And it's just a fact that humans are going to have health problems. It's appointed unto man once to die. We're going to die from something. Everybody's going to die from something, and I guess we can blame that all on Adam and Eve. I wonder, for those people that are going to heaven who like to blame others for their problems, I wonder if there'll be a big lineup, to see Adam and Eve. We want to ask you a question. You know, that's always an easy way to criticize and say, I want to ask you a question. You know, why did you do that to the rest of us? That would be the question. Now, you can't do anything about the fact that you are human. You can, however, do something about half of these six reasons that I named. You can do something about bad habits, and you can do something about the Lord's chastening, and you can do something about your sin. And that's what we're going to look at today, is your sin. You can have health problems because of your sin. Now, some sins are very obvious that you can have health problems. Drinking and smoking and drug abuse can be bad for your health. Of course, there can always be people, you know, it's an amazing thing about sinners, they always have an excuse and think it's not going to apply to them. I heard from smokers way back when, by the time I get cancer for smoking, they'll have a cure for it. Now, I heard that 30 and 40 years ago, so we're still counting to see on that one, you know. and drinking can give cirrhosis of the liver and all kinds of other problems. And so those are somewhat obvious that if you did those sins, that they had come back to bite you in a bad way in your health. But there are many self-satisfied and self-righteous people, even Christian people, who think they are living good, who have other sins that, unknown to them, can give them some really bad health problems. And so I want to show you today that half your health problems can be solved. And how can they be solved? Well, we can see it from the Word of God. And there are a number of reasons that I'm going to give to you today of how your health problems can be solved. Number one is trust in the Lord. That's in verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord is number one. You say, well, it says he'll direct your path. But it also says in verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel. So trust in the Lord is one way to help you with your health problems. Now, I want you to consider carefully this promise. He says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now, if you trust in the Lord, you're not going to be such a terrible worrier with all kinds of tension. Trust in the Lord. You know what? If you just do that, calm your heart. It'll really calm your heart if you trust in the Lord. I have some information here from a medical doctor by the name of S.I. McMillan. And this doctor has some examples. I thought I'd read to you an example of someone who gets upset about something and what it can do to them and to their health. Gives an example, even to youngsters. This can happen even to youngsters. And here's one of his examples. Six-year-old Helen Siebert, sitting on her mother's lap, eyed me like a scared rabbit. Her mother answered my inquiring look. Dr. Helen's been vomiting every day for 6 weeks. Nearly everything I give her comes up. She began to vomit the day after Labor Day. The day after Labor Day was the time that Helen began to attend the large central school with its hundreds of new, strange faces. This experience was indeed overwhelming to her because she lived far up Turtle Creek, where children were few. Why was she vomiting? Her fear of the many strangers had sent hurried impulses along nerves from her emotional center to heighten the muscular outlet, to tighten the muscular outlet of her stomach. As a result, much of her food could not pass into the intestines and was regurgitated. Little Helen had lost a great deal of weight. I suggested that she remain home for a week. There was no more vomiting. Then the better-adjusted Helen returned to school and had no further trouble. That's kind of revealing, isn't it? I know your youngsters are going to say to you, I've been sick. I got to stay home for a week. But you're still going to have to make up the work. You know, another example he gives. So there's a six-year-old, all right? Now we have a six-year-old. Let's go to an 18-year-old. I mean, you would think that an 18-year-old, that should be the time you should be the healthiest all your life when you're 18 years old. You know, I'm looking around at some of us that are a little older than 18, and we wish we were 18 again. Anyway, here's 18-year-old Donna Cole told me that she had been vomiting and suffering from severe abdominal cramps and diarrhea for 5 days. Her trouble had begun about an hour after she had left the dentist's office. I usually have trouble before I go to the dentist's office. I don't know. The dentist had told this pretty popular girl that she must have all of her teeth pulled and be fitted with false teeth. Result, a tempest in her emotional center. Nerve impulses from this center quickly initiated and perpetuated vomiting, severe cramps and diarrhea. Donna was greatly surprised when I told her that the cause of her trouble was not in her abdomen, but above her ears. You know, these are some simple examples that should be easy to understand. Like the Lord says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know what? If you could really trust in the Lord, and then you wouldn't have that nervousness. If you could really trust in the Lord. If you could really trust in the Lord. You know, the problem is that people say, oh, I'm trusting in the Lord, you know. And then sometimes tell their friends, oh, I'm trusting the Lord. Don't worry about me. I'm trusting the Lord. Well, I'm trusting. You know, sometimes people can tell themselves so much that they really think it's true. And it's not. They're not trusting the Lord. They're worrying. If you could just do it. If you could just trust in the Lord, that might eliminate some health problems. If you could just trust in the Lord. Now, I know it's possible to trust in the Lord in that way. You know why I know it's possible? Because the Bible says trust in the Lord. And Almighty God, who created me, would not tell me to trust in the Lord to be help to my navel if I could not do it. He wouldn't tell me to do it if I could not do it. It can be done. But most of the time, we are not trusting in the Lord. We're trusting in other things. And most of us, even sincere, faithful, saved people, resist living by faith and trusting in God. And the fact is that most of us, I mean, we just trust in the doctors. And we trust in the doctors and the pills that they give us more than we trust in God. We really do. And any little thing that comes along, we run to the doctor. And we figure, you know what? He can solve it. We got problems. We run to the doctor. And the good news is that to us, when we run to the doctor, then he gives us the prescription. The bad news is he sends us over to the other building for tests. You know, you hear people going for tests. I'm going to tell you something. When they send you for tests, it usually hurts. It usually does. It's not, test doesn't sound so bad, you know? I'm going for tests. Yeah. They're probably going to hurt me. It gives us a prescription for some, he gives us some pills for whatever ails us. We give, pills. And that's good because then we just swallow those pills and everything's going to be all right, you know? And then in about a week or two, you know, something else wrong. Something else is wrong. And so we run back to the doctor and we say, you know, doctor, you gave me a pill for that. Now that was all right. But now I got this. I can't imagine what happened. I got this, you know. And then I'm going to tell you what happens. You know how when you go to see the doctor, you know, first you wait in the waiting room. And you wait in the waiting room and then they usher you to another room where you get to wait. Okay. So first you wait in a waiting room. It's not so bad in a waiting room because there are other people there, you know? Then they put you in a little room all by yourself. And it's cold and you sit there. And they say, the doctor will be right in. Right in means 34 and a half minutes. Now he comes in and you tell him, well, doctor, I was here 3 weeks ago and I had this and you gave me this. And that seemed to clear that up, but now I got this. I can't understand why I got this. And so, you know what? He just, you know, he's now spent a minute and a half with you, which is worth about $80. And so now he disappears again. Do you know where he goes when he disappears again? He goes to his office and he goes to the shelf and he gets the book. All right. He gets the book and he starts reading. And the reason he's not coming back to you is because he's been leafing through the book to find out what's wrong. See? And so he's already said to you, what medication are you on? That's important. We got to know what medication is because We got to find out what that medication really does to us, all right? So he gets the book, and he opens the book, and he looks under that medication, and there is listed 59 things that it can do bad to you, all right? All right. So he looks down there. He's looking down there, you know, oh, there it is. You know, number 24, that's what the patient just told me he had. Oh, yeah, here it is at 33. That's what the patient told me he had. Now, what do we use for this? There's another pill for that. All right? So now, gives you another pill. It just comes back and says, all right, we'll take care of you. You know, here's the prescription, and go get the other pill. You know? And then about 2 weeks later, something else wrong. And so you go back to the doctor, and he's got another pill for that. You know what? I mean, I've heard of people that were on 11 pills. They were on 11 pills, and probably 10 of them were to correct what the first one started. And then, you know, number two corrected one, and, you know, number three corrected two, and number four corrected, you know, and they go through like that. Yeah. But we say, you know what? I got something wrong with me. I go to the doctor. He'll take care of it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, it's a, no. I trust in the doctor. And I trust in the pharmacist. And I trust in the pills. Now, let me throw in a little disclaimer here, all right? I don't want you to go out here and lie about Pastor Anderson. Pastor Anderson says never go to the doctor. As a matter of fact, you know what? He told my grandmother not to go to the doctor, and she died. Let's sue him. Because, you know, we're not supposed to go. No, there is a time to go to the doctor. There's no doubt about that. But God says trust in the Lord. And if you have a trust in the Lord that take away a whole bunch of your worries and all your nervousness and a whole bunch of things like that, you get those straightened out, and you may not have had some of this stuff right to begin with. The Lord tells us, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Boy, that is a mouthful, because we lean to our own understanding. We think we know. You know why we think so? Because we're human. We think that we know, and we'll go in our understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. All right. Now, the Lord has told us, trust in the Lord. If you could just completely say, and get used to saying, and have it be part of your life, I'm just trusting you, Lord. I'm just trusting you. I got this happening to me. I'm just trusting you, Lord. I got that happening to me. I'm just trusting you, Lord. I'll just keep trusting you. If you could do that, not just say it, if you could do it, you'd be a whole lot more relaxed, peaceful, feel a whole lot better. That's a positive. But there's a negative, and number two is, be not wise in thine own eyes. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Well, I'll tell you something, here's where we get a real problem. Here's where we get a real problem. Again, it's just so human, we think we know all the answers, and we're wise in our own eyes, and so we're going to do things our way and not trust God. We'll find our way. And when there are bumps in the road, we think, you know what? I got to figure out a way to solve the bumps in the road. You know, we had a young man come to our church many, many years ago by the name of Jeff Johnson. And, you know, Jeff Johnson provides a tremendous lesson if you just look at it and learn it. I get to talk with Jeff from time to time. I know maybe once a year, if I were to guess, he calls up and we have a really nice conversation. This is a man who really loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves to talk about sermons that he's heard. He lives down the south where they have more of this stuff on the radio and the gospel music. He loves the same kind of gospel music that I do. And we get talking about those things. And it's a joy to talk to him from time to time. Now, Jeff came to us. And I remember the day he came. You couldn't forget this guy because of his red hair. And he was probably, you know, somewhere in his 20s when he came out to church in Plymouth one Sunday morning. He was a chef, a really good cook. I enjoyed him when he cooked for us. But, you know, one day he appears at our service. And after the service, he told me that he was saved, but that he had been very backslidden. And in that, I believe that Sunday morning, he got right with the Lord and wanted to live for the Lord. And he was very enthused about following the Lord. And I remember Jeff fondly got to know him. He was, just a great young man. Except for the time that he buffeted me on the basketball court, most of the other experiences were pretty good. You know, back in the 70s, we had this church competition at basketball. We had a church basketball game, and it was Tilton against Plymouth. And I kind of looked at both sides, wanted to make them even, and so I played for Tilton, and Jeff was playing for Plymouth. And big monster bruisers like Arthur Morrill was playing for Plymouth. Can you picture this? Now, Arthur Morrill was playing for Plymouth. He had played for Plymouth High School when he was young, and there he was playing. And so what the guys from Plymouth said, now Jeff was not a basketball player. I mean, he was just a big guy that you'd call him raw boned. You know, he's about 6'4", and you'd call him raw boned. Raw boned means that his bony knees and elbows were going to go into my body lots of times, And that's what happened in that basketball game. He didn't know how to play defense right, so he just smothered me all the time. He just ran into me all the time. He just knocked into me all the time, you know. But we had a lot of fun. Well, you know, he was here when this building was built in 1978 and 1979, and he dated one of the ladies that was going to our church at the time. And when that fell apart, he appeared to start to get anxious. And the Bible says in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. And you know what his wisdom was? His wisdom was that he looked around in the church where he was happy, and in the church where he got right with God, and in the church where he was serving, and he looked around that church, and he looked around, and he didn't see any young women that looked like a good prospect for him for a wife. He just surveyed the female population of our churches, and he did not see anybody there. And he'd been around for a while, and he didn't see anybody. He didn't see anybody new coming in. And so he thought that what he should do would be to start to go around to other churches in the Northeast and see if he could find himself a young woman that would fit his needs. And so he decided he would look elsewhere. But verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Well, he was wise in his own eyes. You know, can I bring to your attention, these are powerful verses when you start to meditate upon them and make application in your own life. Be not wise in your own eyes. Now, I'm talking about somebody here, Jeff Johnson, who was a good guy. I mean, he was a good guy. He loved the Lord. And if you knew him, and I think those of you sitting here that did know him would agree. I mean, he was a terrific guy, a nice guy to be around. And you know what? You wouldn't probably say about Jeff, well, if you really knew him, you know what I mean? He was some terror. You know, I don't think that's true. I think all of us would say, you know what? He was a good guy. He was a good guy that loved the Lord. But he had just one problem. You know what? There wasn't a woman for him on the day or the month or the year that he thought he needed that woman. Be not wise in thine own eyes. And so he devised himself a plan. He could not wait on God. Devised himself a plan. And by the way, I want to let you know something. You say, well, you know, you talk about people like this. I talked to Jeff about how, you know, what he's gone through. And I said, you know, Jeff, could I have your permission to tell your story so that others would learn from it? And he said, absolutely. Because, you know, people have been through things that they want to serve as a warning for others. And he gave me permission to tell the story, and I've told it before. You see, most Christians can claim verses of the Bible that they do in those verses of the Bible, and they really don't. They really don't. And sometimes they don't realize that they really don't. And that's why God gave preachers, so that preachers could warn people, because sometimes they don't realize it. Sometimes they're not reading in the book of Proverbs. Sometimes they're reading and studying something else. Maybe they're reading and studying prophecy while they're thinking, now I need a wife. And they're not reading in the book of Proverbs. And they're not taking verse 7 as being something important to them. Be not wise in thine own eyes. And then they do what they think is best. And then they ask the Lord to bless. Oh, you know what? This is the way I think it should be. Oh, Lord, please bless me. I'm going to go out and find some women. Lord, bless me. You see, for as many people as we have seen fall away from obedience to the Lord because they wanted to run the church, there is an equal amount who couldn't trust God in the matter of supplying for them a mate. Verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. And then the next phrase is number 3 in how to have good health, and that is fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. That's number 3 in how to have good health. How do I know to have good health? Because it says, fear the Lord and depart from evil, verse 8, and it shall be health to thy navel. So fearing the Lord is good for your health. Now, once Jeff was wise in his own eyes, the fear of the Lord was greatly diminished until he apparently stopped fearing the Lord altogether. You know, it happens many times that the slide in a person's spiritual life is so slow that it is not recognized because it's so slow. But it's still there. People wise in their own eyes, they feel quite smug to disagree with the preaching and the warning that they get from the pulpit. They know better, their situation is better, and the pastor's not right about everything, you know. And it may be they've been helped along by a friend who constantly finds fault with the pastor, spinning out the subtly thoughts and distortions. They say, oh, you know what, the pastor's not right. And you know why he's doing that anyway. He wants to keep you here in church, you know. That's why he's saying what he's saying. And soon the all-knowing neophytes say, well, you know, he's preaching wrong, especially when he's warning me about the thing that I'm involved in. Why, I've consulted the compromising preacher who says that that kind of preaching is way out of line anyway. Just preach the Bible. Just preach the Bible. Just preach the Bible. You say, you know, a person go out here and say, oh, you know, well, what did he preach on today? Well, he preached on Jeff Johnson, you know. Just preach the Bible. Isn't this the Bible? Trust in the Lord, verse 5, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, verse 6, and verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, and fear the Lord. Isn't that the Bible? Of course that's the Bible. That's the Bible with the application, because the Bible applies to our heart. And when we do it, it's good. And when we resist it, whatever the excuse, it doesn't turn out so good. You know, I can't say that Jeff rejected the preaching, but neither did he ask me whether his plan was a good one. He just kind of announced it to me. And you know what? I don't just get into people's lives and tell them what to do. I preach the Word of God. You got to decide what you're going to do. But you know what? When Jeff just said to me, well, this is what I'm going to do. I didn't say, you know what, Jeff? I don't think that's a good idea. I didn't say that. So on he went. So what turned out here was that his plan, it didn't find him any wife. And I guess he got depressed and started drinking. Wise in his own eyes, he no longer had the fear of the Lord. And you know what? If you had the fear of the Lord, you wouldn't put that stuff to your lips, say, if you had the fear of the Lord. Because you know if you had the fear of the Lord, that's going to do you a lot of harm. Maybe different kind of harm than what happened to Jeff, but it's going to do you harm. See? And if he had the fear of the Lord, he wouldn't have started drinking. Because he knows what the Bible says. The wine is a mocker and strong drink is a raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. But he didn't have the fear of the Lord, so he started drinking. And when he wasn't trusting the Lord with all of his heart, I guess he found some solace in the bottle. And you can find that, I guess, temporarily. Oh, what's wrong with one drink? Comes back the excuse on these matters. But I always wondered, how many people do you know that only ever took one drink? I wonder, how many do you know like that? That would be some kind of rare person. No, what happens is it leads to another and to another, which leads to more bad judgment. And when you drink, you have bad judgment. And then the drink gives you bad judgment. And some of the bad judgment sometimes that people have when they drink is they think they got everything under control. And when they think they got everything under control, they open up the door and sit on the seat and get behind the wheel and they start to drive. And that's what Jeff did. And a tragic accident left Jeff paralyzed and disabled for the rest of his life without a wife. When he no longer feared the Lord, it turned out very bad for his health. Being paralyzed is very bad for your health. Well, it got his attention and he got right with the Lord, and the Lord has been able to fill his heart. We're thankful for that. Half your health problems can be solved. Number one, if you'll trust the Lord. Number two, be not wise in your own eyes. Number three, fear the Lord. And then number four is depart from evil. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil, it shall be health to thy navel. That's what God says. Depart from evil, it'll be health to your navel. Depart from evil, he says. You know, I want to come back here, I want to hold here in Proverbs 3, if you would, and turn to Galatians chapter 5. We looked at this a few weeks ago. Galatians chapter 5, and there's a listing here, starting in verse 19 through 21, of a lot of evil. So the Lord said, depart from evil. Now I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture that lists a lot of evil. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Most people know that that's evil. They should. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, if you have any of those sins, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Actually, the thing that's going to keep you out of the kingdom of God is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. Because when he died on the cross, he paid for all those things. But you must trust him and believe him to receive the forgiveness for every last sin you've ever committed. You must receive him to be saved. So all of the sins that are listed there, the Holy Ghost and the Word of God tells us you can't inherit the kingdom of God if you've done those sins. And the worst sin of all is the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ as being your sin sacrifice that paid for your sins so that you could get saved. You see, you can't be good to get saved. You can't be good enough to get saved. You need the Lord Jesus Christ payment for your sins to be saved. That's the only way that you can get saved. And if you will say to the Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned against a holy God. I've broken your commandments. I've sinned, but I believe that Jesus was God, took my place. Lord, please save me based on my belief, not based on what I think I am, not based on whether I think I'm good enough, not based on whether I think I'm religious enough, not based on whether I think I have a religion or a baptism, but based on what Jesus did. Please save me. And he'll save you, wash all your sins away, and that'll give you peace. I'll give you peace. Boy, that would be good for a lot of people that have all kinds of trouble. You could go off pills and just trust Jesus. That's the first way to trust Jesus. And here we have a listing of all these things. And the Lord said, it'll be health to you if you depart from evil. And you know what? We see all kinds of evil here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. You know what? We think we get saved and we think, well, we stop drinking. I'm a pretty good Christian. I stop drinking, I stop smoking, I read my Bible every once in a while, and I go to church. I'm a pretty good Christian. The Lord's got a list of things here that should strike us when we read it. And the reason it should strike us when we read it is that we see idolatry and witchcraft. Certainly one of the worst sins in all the Word of God is witchcraft. We see idolatry and witchcraft, and the next word we see is hatred. And then pretty soon we see in verse 20, wrath listed right in there with idolatry and witchcraft and emulations and heresies. We see wrath and we see strife. And we see seditions, which is rebellion. And we see strife, which is people fighting with one another. And in verse 21, we see envying. And what's the one right after envying? Murder. And they're all listed there together. And when God said, depart from evil, he didn't say, depart from what you think are the bad sins and keep the other sins. He said, depart from evil. He didn't say, just depart from murder. He said, depart from evil and all these things. You know, they're listed together. They're listed together. And they're not rated. They're not in a rating system. You know, we don't see adultery with a 7 and murder with a 10 being the worst. And hatred with a 0.5. They're all listed together. The Lord says, depart from him. Depart from him. You see, hatred, wrath, which is anger, revenge, strife, sedition, rebellion, they're evil. And you know what? If the Lord says to depart, it will be good for us to do what God says and depart from these wicked sins. And you know why we ought to depart from these wicked sins? Because God told us to. It's right. But you know what? The benefit is it's also healthy. It's also healthy. Let me give you, some more examples from Dr. McMillan wrote about. He actually quotes somebody else here. That says, fatal heart attacks can be triggered by anger in all degrees, depression and anxiety, according to Dr. Roy Grinker, one of the medical directors of the Michael Reese Hospital in Chicago. This doctor states that anxiety places more stress on a heart than any other stimulus, including physical exercise and fatigue. Fatal heart attacks can be triggered by anger in all degrees. And that's something, you know what? I wonder if you ever heard of somebody having a heart attack through anger. Because you know what? I doubt that anybody releases information like that, right? There's the ambulance. Out to the house, right? They pull a guy out of the house, you know? Maybe he is DOA when he gets to the hospital, or maybe lingers for a little while, died of a heart attack. Do you think that if that were the case, and do you think if he were having an all-out stomping fit with his wife before he grabbed his chest and keeled over, do you think that the wife would say that? She would probably say, oh, you know what? Oh, Herman was the sweetest guy. He was a wonderful father. He was just so kind to everybody. And he's up there looking down at us now. You know? I mean, they don't release information like that any more than they like to release, you know, that the Catholic priest had a heart attack when he was with a prostitute somewhere. Oh, what are you saying? Things like that. Because it happens. They don't want to release that, right? They want to paint that person as being wonderful. But it would be amazing. It would be amazing to find out how many people might have had heart attacks that were in the midst of a stomping, knockdown, drag out, screaming fight when it happened. Well, these doctors seem to know that. Here's another example. Big Bill Brandon was a very likable fellow when he didn't go off at the handle. When one of his men at the plant messed up an assignment, Bill would get furious and throw at him the sharpest epithets in his voluminous but unprintable vocabulary. But the abuse he hurled at the other fellow always seemed to boomerang on poor Bill and eventually put him in bed. Then his wife would call me. Doc, he has been vomiting 2 weeks straight, but he wouldn't let me call you until this morning. One couldn't help feeling sorry for Big Bill as he lay on his stomach in bed. His eyes were big, red, desperate, and pleading for help. Of course, he had been studied and x-rayed in several hospitals where he had spent a small fortune. His trouble was always brought on by anger, which tightened the outlet of his stomach and caused the intractable vomiting. The occurrences were so frequent and severe that Bill was having a hard time working enough to support his wife and 8 children. Bill's stomach must have had a stainless steel lining, because after such a buildup of acid in the stomach, most people develop ulcers, if not cancer. In fact, it is generally agreed in medical circles that ulcers are caused not so much by what the person eats as by what eats the person. Of course, after ulcers develop, they are aggravated by certain foods and emotional upsets. You know what? The Lord says, depart from evil. Anger's evil. Strife is evil. Revenge is evil. God says, depart from evil. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to notice here it's all tied together. There's a promise here. The promise is conditional. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, verse 5. Lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him means you believe all the Bible. And what the Bible says, you say, you know what? It's true because it's in the Bible. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to do it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In other words, he'll take care of the rest. That's pretty comforting, isn't it? He'll take care of the rest. I'll just do what the Bible tells me, and he'll take care of the rest. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So we see here that we have four things. Half your health problems can be solved. We gave you six areas in which you can have health problems. Three of those areas you can control yourself. And half your health problems can be solved if, number one, you'll trust in the Lord. If, number two, you won't be wise in your own eyes. If, number three, you'll fear the Lord. And, number four, you'll depart from evil. Verse 7, be not wise in thine eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And what's God tell us? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You do those things, it'll be good for your health. You do those things, it'll be good for your health. There's a promise. It's a great promise. You trust the Lord, and he'll take care of the rest. Let's bow for prayer. So our heads are bowed, we come to our prayer and invitation time. This is a moment in our service, a very important moment in our service. It's a moment when you can make decisions. And you can decide whether you want to do what the Word of God said, or whether you're going to be wise in your own eyes and do it your way. And if you're saved, and you know you're saved, the Lord has told you what can be health for you. Are you doing it all? You know what? I would dare say that most every saved person in this auditorium under the sound of my voice ought to be thinking, you know what? I don't trust in the Lord as much as I think I trust in the Lord. At the very least, that ought to be in your heart. Maybe there are areas in your heart you're saved when you ought to say, I got to depart from evil. I'm going to depart from wrath and strife. Someone might say, preacher, how can I depart from strife? I got somebody bugging me all the time. You know, just turn away and leave it to the Lord. You don't have to give the last word. You don't have to jam it down somebody's throat. Just turn away. You may have to say, you know what, there are some things there that God calls evil that I can say they're really truly in my life. Lord, forgive me. I want a purpose in my heart to get them out of my life. And I want to learn how to trust the Lord and rest in the Lord and be easy in the Lord, so that it will go well for me and it'll be health to my navel. Would you pray that prayer right now? You're saved, you're a child of God. And there may be those under the sound of my voice, you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. My friend, until the day you're saved, you're under the wrath of God. But if you call upon him, the mercies of God are available to you. And he will save you and wash all your sins away and give you a new heart and give you peace in your heart that all your sins are forgiven. It's a great, great knowledge and feeling to know that you're forgiven by the Lord. And to have that right now, you can have that today. You can have that. You can have that by praying to the Lord right in this quiet prayer time and say, Lord, I know that I've sinned against the God of heaven. But I believe that Jesus was God in the flesh, that he took my place on a cross like I heard today, and that he bore all my sin, and he was my sin sacrifice. Lord, I repent of my sin, and I trust what Jesus did on the cross. That and that only can save my wicked soul for all eternity. Would you pray that prayer right now?
in the quietness of your heart, if you mean it with all your heart, the Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, meaning that if you come to him, he won't cast you out. If you'll come to him for salvation, he won't cast you out. If you mean it with the sincerity of your heart right now, would you do that in this quiet moment as we pray silently? As our heads are bowed, before I pray, I want to ask you if you made that decision. If you say, preacher, I just prayed for the Lord to save my soul, I mean it with all my heart, would you raise your hand and let me know before I pray? Is there someone? Or you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today, I go right to heaven with everything forgiven. But I'd like to know how to be saved today. Would you raise your hand and let me know before I pray? Is there someone? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be sure. Father, we come before you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that God's people might take the Word of God seriously. I pray for those that might not know Thee as Savior, that as the Spirit of God draws them, that, Lord, it might have a great impact upon their soul and that they might desire to know the Lord as their Savior. We pray for them earnestly. In Jesus' name, amen. 515, please, in your hymn book. 515. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. If you're not sure you're saved on your way to heaven, I didn't see anybody raise their hand, but if you're not sure you're saved on your way to heaven and you'd like to be sure of that, if you come down, meet me down at the front. I'll have somebody take you to private counseling room behind a piano and show you in the Bible the verses. You believe those verses and you pray to the Lord and He will gladly save your soul. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You admit you're lost and you're halfway there because He'll take care of the rest. Would you come as we stand and sing 515? Don't be afraid. Just step out as we're singing.